If I set my goals and I achieve them, I am successful based on me. But your existence was not put in place by you. God Almighty placed you on planet Earth. So the goals must only be defined by Him. It means most people are successful in life, but they are successful failures.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
Avoid mission creep. Avoid mission creep. I believe that any military man would understand that statement. All right? Any military person. What it simply means is that when secondary things becomes your primary focus, when secondary things become your primary focus. So on the basis of our topic this morning, we are saying that avoid situations where your primary focus is being surrendered to things that are not originally your primary focus. All right? And so let me state again that mission creep is when secondary things become more important than the very primary thing or the primary mission. Mission creep is a military term that is used to refer to a gradual shift in objectives during a military campaign, often resulting in an unplanned long-term commitment. I'm trying to help you understand my topic because it's not a Bible topic, but it is the principle taught in Acts chapter 6. Amen. In the month of March in 2011, if you all remember, during the first Libyan war, how many of you remember the first Libyan war when America wanted to get rid of Muammar Gaddafi, all right, through the UN 1973 resolution that wherever there is war, the UN would send in emissaries, and they are there for one and only one reason based on that resolution, to provide a no-fly zone so they can give humanitarian need. The British went in for that reason, but America went in to get rid of Gaddafi. Now, over time, Americans were able to woo the British for them to change their original reason of establishing a no-fly zone so they can give humanitarian need. And so they team up with France and the United States, and they came up with this idea that Gaddafi must go. What you see in this picture is that Great Britain has had a mission creep because the original mission was to provide and establish a no-fly zone. Now they are occupied with something else, which is not part of the original mission. In a Senate hearing at the time, Robert Gates was the Minister of Defense in this country. He was asked by senators that it sounds as if whatever reason for which the United States went in, it might go past it. And these are the exact words of Robert Gates. Let me quote that out to you. He said this: "I am preoccupied with avoiding mission creep and avoiding having an open-ended, very large-scale American commitment in this respect." What is he saying? He's saying that we went in to remove Gaddafi, but we might end up being there for a very long time, which is not part of the original mission. Anybody who will make it in life, you must guard against mission creep. When secondary things, even though they are urgent and important, it should never be allowed to replace the original reason for which you began something. And I'm speaking from experience, because there are many who have suggested all kinds of things to me for this church to be a part of. And I always say no. They think I'm stubborn. But today you will see out of God's word that anybody who accomplishes any goal is a person who guards against mission creep. So tell the person sitting next to you, avoid mission creep. Avoiding mission creep is keeping secondary things secondary and focusing on the first mission. My brother, if you will have a happy home, keep the first mission for which you married this woman always to become the first mission. In other words, major on the majors and minor on the minors. Did you understand our topic? So can we get into it now? All right. I'm glad you got it. Today you are all going to be military people. I think it's Paul the Apostle in the book of 2 Timothy when he writes, reminds the people. He says, as a good soldier of Christ, don't be entangled with other things. In other words, make sure that the secondary things, even though they are urgent and important, do not destroy your original mission. Paul the Apostle said it again to the church in Philippi. He says, one thing I do, one, the first one, because I forget all of the other things. It doesn't mean the other things are not important, but the other things are not the primary what? Mission. Amen. And Robert Gates did very well to make sure that America did not go beyond their original mission. But Great Britain had a mission creep. Everybody turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 28. Pastor, we thought you said Acts chapter 6. I'll come to it. I'm laying a foundation. Because if I don't lay the foundation right, you can make this text about something it's not supposed to be about. And it's very common in churches today. Christians don't like contest, so they can make any scripture say anything. As believers in Christ, our mission is found in Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20. If you are born again believer and you have made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, your mission is defined here. Anything outside this is a mission creep. Are you here with me? Are you in Matthew 28? Let's start from verse 18. And I will read from the New International Version. I realize that my King James sometimes is not helping some of you, even though I understand it. So let me read a modern version for you. Then Jesus came to them and said, I'm in Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey. Everybody say, teaching them to obey. Everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What is our primary mission? Discipling nations. Not just individuals. Discipling what? He says, go into all the world and make disciples of every what? Nation. Whether you like the people or not, we are supposed to make disciples of Christ in that particular nation. And this work, the scripture says, it will never be complete until you teach them to obey. What do Christians do today? We only give in to the unbelieving world so that they would accept us. There's a mission creep already. And today I am here to remind you, avoid mission what? It is the same with your business. When you start a business, you have a focus, correct? And then you see somebody else do something, then all of a sudden you feel like, maybe that looks good, so let me go try it. You already lost focus. Four things, write it down, that causes mission creep. Number one is what I call peer pressure. You see everybody do it. Every church is doing it. Pastor, can we do it? No, I will not do it. I will not do it because I am stubborn. I will do it because it takes our focus away. Original mission is that we teach all nations. I like it in the King James. He says, go into all the world and teach all nations. It's the Greek word matateo, which means that teach them to a place, apprentice them, make them become apprentices of Jesus. So bring the people to that place. That's our primary mission. We are not there just to feed people. Feeding is good, but that is not why you are called. That is why I believe most NGOs have lost focus, Christian NGOs, because you go and you feed the people. After that, you present no gospel to them. That's error, because that's secondary. The primary is that the people must be taught. So teach them until they obey. Are you here with me today? And anytime people have moved away from the original mission, both what God wants us to do and your personal pursuits in life, you will notice it is because of peer pressure. I saw them do it. I saw the other people do it. It looks good. If people are wearing somebody's brand name, it's time the world must wear your name as well. And if you have the boldness enough to stay focused, people will be wearing your name by now. And you will be filthy rich too. Your problem is you want to be everybody else but you. And you're always blaming your parents. They were not there. Yes, it does have effect, but that is not a good excuse. In fact, the people who are rich in this world, most of them were abandoned. So stop hiding behind stuff and rise and become what God wants you to become. Amen. The second thing that causes mission creep. First one I told you was what? Peer pressure. Second one is success. When you become successful in something, you are tempted to focus on the success and forget the things that got you there in the first place. Because the things that got you there in the first place is actually the original mission. Success is only a fruit. I've seen people who have lived a righteous life, prayed, and when God blessed them financially, now they live anyhow. That's mission creep. Because you've forgotten that the things that got you there, pain, hardship, and problems is the third one that easily can cause you to have mission creep. Sometimes because of problems, people forget who they truly are. Whenever you begin to go through troubles and things are happening in your life and you're wondering where is your God, stay on task. I said, stay on what? On task. Any good businessman will tell you that whenever you begin a business, it is very what? Hard. The beginning of everything is difficult. Do not allow hardships and problems to move you off course. Not everything that is urgent is your primary mission. Not all the girls that look good is your primary mission. Guajo. Your primary mission is charity. You think I'm only talking about him, I'm talking about you too. Some of you, you have sat under my feet. I've prayed for you, and God has blessed you. Now you give to other men of God. I'm not jealous, but I'm reminding you that's mission creep. Your parents took care of you. Now you have money. You've been blessed financially. And when they ask you to help them with something, oh, you every day you ask me for something. Every day you ask him, you forgot that it was the same person who used to clean your behind. I want to work on this a little bit. It's amazing that you began the marriage together. And it was as if you were these wonderful lovebirds, you know. And you realize they are holding each other. Later on, there's a problem when they come. They don't even want to sit close to each other. And I normally begin, sit together. As we have nothing to talk about. You began governing your marriage relationship with the Word of God. Now you are governing it with a traditional mindset. And calling it is better. It was Paul the Apostle said these words in Galatians 3 and verse 3. How in the world have you begun in the Spirit? And now you want to be made perfect in the ways of the flesh. Because when you began in the Spirit, that was your mission. How in the world do you think now you can shift around and still make it? No wonder there are many Christians today and we are powerless. Because everything is how smart we are. I pray today that by the end of this message that you would understand Satan can pump you up with a lot of hardship and pain. His focus is to get you off the mission. Did you get it? His focus is to get you off there. When we were about to open this building on October 5th, 2019, I had a letter to show up for a court case. On the same day, I had an information that some people, law enforcement people, were going to show up here and ransack the people. And so with all of those things going on, you tell me where my head should be. Where should my head be? It wasn't worried one bit because I understood that somebody wants to stop what was going to take place that day. So I ignored all of them. Somebody says you ignore them to your own detriment, right? But it was not to my detriment because when God has you on a course, no man can change that course for you. You are pursuing that job and they are telling you they're not going to give to you. Keep focusing and keep pressing and keep going. I'm saying this specifically to someone. I sense this in my spirit. Keep presenting the same resume. When people want to lie on your resume, don't allow them. That is not how you began. Success by righteousness is your way. Keep at it, and you will see God bring it to pass. Every believer in Christ must remember that our primary focus is making disciples. In fact, the actual statement should be discipling nations. Sometimes we want to disciple our own friends. God wants you to disciple what? Nations. And he says, the work has not been complete until you teach them to obey. Don't deviate from it. I said, don't what? Because churches can have all kinds of programs. There's a difference between program and ministry. When you come here, we take our time and we teach you. The people that lead worship, they are not singing music. They actually lead you to push you to learn how to worship in the presence of God. We don't roll flags and dance and put stuff on our faces and mime. We may do it, but we know that is not worship. Are you here with me? Because today, a lot of secondary agent things, things that look nice, are replacing what is really important. I read an article. And in that article, the person began with these words. Success is the achievement of goals. Anybody agree? I agree with him. Anybody agree with that? If you are successful, it means you have achieved goals that have been set. The question is, who is setting the goals? If I set my goals and I achieve them, I am successful based on me. But your existence was not put in place by you. God Almighty placed you on planet Earth. So the goals must only be defined by Him.
It means most people are successful in life, but they are successful failures. Because you are successful at what you began and what society defines. But what God actually, his reason for putting you on earth, you haven't done one. That's mission creep. Because your actual mission, you have not even touched it. Until one day you die and go and stand before him and I said, this is what I wanted you to do. And he said, Lord, but I did this and that. He says, that's not why I created you. Let's be careful. I said, let's be what? With that in mind, let's go to Acts chapter 6. In the book of Acts chapter 6, we are going to read the first 7 verses. And these words have been made to mean a lot of things. But I intentionally laid all that groundwork to help you put this in its proper context so we don't misinterpret it. Acts chapter 6. Let's pick up from verse 1, reading from the New International Version. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews, Hellenistic simply means the Greek-speaking Jews, okay? The Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews. It means the Jews that spoke Hebrew. Because their widows were being overlooked and in the daily distribution of food. As for racism and prejudice is everywhere. The church was what? Increasing. But the problem that existed was people were neglected. Sometimes we are too focused on how large we get, forgetting that God wants a certain goal to be followed. But it's a good thing that the New Testament church began to grow in leaps and what? Bounds. And the scripture says, when that happened, there was a problem. What was the problem? All the Greek-speaking Jews were neglected, right? And then the Hebrew-speaking Jews were being taken care of. What I wanted to see here is that the problem that was taking place that forced the apostles to do something was not something unimportant. You are taking care of what? Widows. Now, James chapter 1, I'll come back to Acts chapter 6. Look at James chapter 1, verse 27. He says, religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. He says, the religion that God accepts. So, once those things were not in place, the apostles had to do something. Verse 3, go back to the book of Acts. Let's look at what they did. Brothers and sisters, the apostles are speaking, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. What is the responsibility? The responsibility of what? Feeding. The daily distribution of food. It's amazing how we fight over food. Their behavior looks like some people I know. Right? And we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Let's all read verse 4 together, shall we? And we attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Are these apostles saying the feeding of those widows were not important? Because James 1:27 told us it's the religion God approves of. But it was not the original mission Jesus gave them. When Jesus was living the earth, in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, what did he say? You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the utmost part of the earth. Before Jesus left, in Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 and 20, make disciples of all what? Nations, starting from Jerusalem. I'm interplaying those two scriptures. And in Judea and in Samaria. Remember, Jerusalem was a city. Judea was an entire region. And Samaria was a nation. So the apostles were saying, the primary thing that we were given is to preach the word and to pray. So we cannot sacrifice it for another legitimate work, like feeding there. Are you seeing the picture of this chapter? Yet many people make this chapter about choosing of deacons. You don't even see the word deacon here. Let's continue reading. Verse 5. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, underline that name, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Jerusalem. Come on to all these names. The name Stephen is a Greek name. From the Greek word Stephanos, a crown. Philip could be conjugated into two words. Phileos, as in love. And hippos, not as in hippopotamus, but horses. A lover of horses. I'm not here to interpret names. But what I want you to see is that why did the people choose, all the people that were chosen, first of all, they were all men. So if we make this about deacons, are you telling me that all deacons must be men? Then all the people who were chosen were Greeks. They were the Hellenistic people. So the people who were complaining, they chose their people. The men were full of the Holy Spirit, but they still chose their own. I wanted to bring the scripture into its proper context. Verse 6. They presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. So, everybody say so. Circle that word. In conclusion, as a result of. As a result of choosing men, as a result of reorganizing themselves so that they don't stay away from prayer and the study of God's word. As a result of making sure that the first thing became the first thing. Something happened. What was it? The word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Amen. Never make this text about deacons. Tell the person sitting next to you. Did you actually see the word deacon here? But many churches use this as basis to have deacons. And if we did that, we must ask a lot of questions. Does Covenant Family Chapel have deacons? So I'm answering your question why we don't have one. Never underestimate me. I know where I'm going. And if we have to have some based on this scripture, the people who see to picnics must be people who are full of the Holy Spirit. Was that not a requirement? How many times do we choose people to oversee picnics who are full of the Holy Spirit? We only choose people who can cook. If we make this text about deacons, we have to ask the question, are deacons all supposed to be men? Because later on you read in Pauline epistles that some of the deacons of the early church were women. When you read the book of Acts, you will see deacons. You will see elders. You will see church councils. But never take the book of Acts as prescriptive. It must always be looked as what? Descriptive. How the early church functioned because Christ was working through them. Are you guys with me? To put this text in context is that how they reorganize themselves to stay on task. That's what this is about.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555. Or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.